Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the gathering of your people, as it is written, unto you shall the gathering of the people be. Again, Lord, as always, we declare that the entrance of your words bring light and it gives understanding to the simple. Let it be so even today. As we declare that word, let it enter into our spirit and anoint our ears to hear and anoint our eyes to see and give understanding, Lord, into our hearts of the things that you are declaring unto your people. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my doctrine drop as the rain this morning, and my speech let it distill as the dew, even as a small rain upon the tender herb and as showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 1 to 4. Praise the Lord. Again, I want to declare and set the stage for what we are sharing today, which is a continuation of the lesson from yesterday. Praise the Lord. And every time we come into the presence of the Lord to hear his word, sit at his feet, your time as well. We expect the Lord to tell us and show us what's in his mind. The Lord God had given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God had opened my ear, and I will not be rebellious, neither will I turn back. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 and 5. And again, the scriptures declare unto us, in the book of Colossians, chapter 4, and verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. So, we trust that our words today will be with grace and seasoned with salt. We trust that they will drop down as the honey dew. We trust that it will be as a pen of a ready writer. Praise the Lord. All right. Yesterday, talking about triple action faith. Well, why do we call it triple action faith? Well, because in this lesson, there are three types of action that the Lord was teaching, you know, to help us establish our faith. There is the ask, there is the seek, and there is the knock. We presented this as an acronym, ASK. It's an acronym. If you look at it that way, or as an acronym, the A would be for ask, the S would be for seek, and the K would be for not. And that, And that's interesting that, you know, the word ask within itself carries three types of actions, you know. So you must, there's times you need to ask, other times you need to follow that with seeking, and yet other times you need to knock. All of those three types of actions together constitute asking. And that's what Jesus was trying to communicate to his disciples at different times. So we talked about the ask, the seek, the knock yesterday, but there are a few other things I want to talk about in the knocking. I want to talk about that because I didn't quite finish that yesterday. So one thing is for us to remember is that, you know, the Lord has promised an open door for us and unto us. He describes himself as the one that has the key of David that opens and no one can shut. Well, sometimes, you know, you are shut too and nobody can open. But here's how he puts it in Revelation 3, you know, and verse 8. I know thy works. Let me read it from verse 7. Unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. See, that's what he says. And he went on to say, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door which no man can shut. Now, yes, you know, that's what the Lord said. But sometimes you still have to knock. Set, the word set here indicates that he has prepared. Hallelujah. You know, he has prepared. The door will open when you knock. But you must knock in faith. The Lord has set and made preparation, put things, you know, into orbit for you to cause you to go through. And when you knock and the door is open, then you must go through. So these are the things that the Lord wants us to understand today. So I'm going to talk more, a little more about God setting that open door before us. Praise the Lord. The Lord had prepared his throne in the heavens. You know, it's like established Psalm 103 verse 19. You know, he has prepared, he has set. Same thing is, he has set open door for you. Now, the reason we are sharing these lessons, because, you know, at this time, a lot of people are going through, and you're going to need every help you can get. Muster your spiritual strength, you know, put on thy beautiful garments, put on thy strength, he said. You know, you got to put on the strength of the Lord. He said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You know, garnish all the strength you can get from the scriptures to fight the onslaught of the devil. You know, one of the greatest weapons that the Lord describes in Ephesians chapter 6, you know, it talks about above everything else, take on the shield of faith. So we see how important faith is, you know, when we are battling situations. You got to take and put on the shield of faith. So that's why God keeps telling us these things to help us to fight a good fight. And even as Paul said, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. Finished my course. Well, are you fighting a good fight of faith? You know, so we got to be steadfast. What story is being written of you? There were a lot of things written in Hebrews 11 of some people. But I believe that there is a chapter similar to Hebrews 11 that is still being written. But what is it? Will your name be there? What will it be that will be written of you? So those are the things that we challenge ourselves with. Now, God always likes us to do something. You know, he wants us to partner with him. Look, from the beginning, he showed us that. You know, we've talked about this multiple times, how that, you know, when he created everything and he saw that everything was beautiful, then he brought Adam in there and then he took a step back and said, well, Adam, you got this. You know, and whatever Adam said, well, that was it from that point on. And so, you know, God did his part, set everything in motion, gave Adam the dominion. Of course, you know, Adam was made in his image and his likeness. And then he took a step back. Now Adam will do this thing. So God always wants us to partner with him like that. You know, we've seen many stories throughout the Bible. There are things that, you know, that God, at times that God wants us to do something. Most times, so you do something. But every time, I mean, I'll say most time, every single time you must do something. It could be, you know, you have to believe God, you know, but you have to do something. Always have to do something. And sometimes the something that you have to do may just be to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord or to praise the Lord ahead of the battle, but you still have to do something. You know, so the aspect of seeking and knocking have to deal with doing something. Now, let's read Exodus chapter 14, just one verse there. But you know the story. The children of Israel come out of Egypt, they're going and so forth. Pharaoh's chasing them down. Now they are at the Red Sea. There's nowhere to go. They can't go forward. They can't go backwards. They're trapped in the middle. At least so Pharaoh thinks. And so they themselves think. But God said, go forward. Exodus 14 and 13, he talks about stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Well, you know, you stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, but still you have to go forward. So, you know, let's see, you know, that lesson, you know, how that we got to look at what God is telling us in all the various angles. You know, listen to what Moses said. He said, Moses said to the people, fear ye not, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye seek, whom you've seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Well, it seems as if all they have to do is just stand still and do nothing, because of the way that Moses was saying it. But the Lord said, no. Why are you standing there crying to me? You got to do something. Got to go forward. In the next verse, he said, the Lord said to him, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Yeah. Even though the Lord wants you to relax and know that he's got the battle, but you still got to go forward. You know, as a matter of fact, you know, as long as you're standing right there, it'll continue to be the Red Sea. And it'll continue to be overwhelming. You must determine in your heart that you're going to go forward. Once you determine in your heart you're going to go forward, then all of a sudden, he says, the Lord will tell you what to do. Lift up thy rod now and stretch thy hand out over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Hallelujah. You know, so, but you got to go forward. In the book of Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 10, the Lord tells us that we must go through. I want to talk about going through those gates. You know, when you knock and the door is open, you have to go through. So the sequence in this triple action faith is ask and you shall receive. You know, when you have something that you need of the Lord, you ask, shall receive. Then when you know that everyone that asketh receiveth, the moment you ask in prayer, I'm going to talk about some blockers in a minute, but the moment you ask in prayer and you believe, then you know you have it. So then you got to look for the thing that God has given as an answer to that ask. Because he says you receive. So look for it. That's the seek. And then he might show you something that you have to do. He might show you a door on which you have to go knock. And then he has promised you that the door will be open. But you still have to knock. You know, you got to knock. You got to knock. If you're standing in front of the house, you're trying to get in, you got to knock to let the person inside know that you're there. All right. Jesus himself said the same thing about himself. Revelation 3:20, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, somebody's going to have to let you in. Well, somebody is going to have to let you through in this case. Well, that's somebody. Those are the forces that God has put in place to cause the door to open for you. He said, I have set before you, the moment you knock, the door will open. The moment you step forward, the sea will part. But you got to step forward. Praise the Lord. You know, God told, you know, the children of Israel, you know, the same thing. You know, those that bear the ark, you know, when they are bearing the ark, the priests that bear the ark, as soon as their feet shall touch on the bank, the bank of the river, you know, then the Lord said, well, what will happen? Well, the river will part as soon as their feet shall touch. Now, but you have got to step forward. If you don't, you stay in one place. Well, it doesn't show your faith. You must step forward. I'm saying it slowly because I want it to sink in. When you step forward, that's when the Lord will cause the sea to open up. It'll cause the sea to open up. Now, let's read a little story here in Joshua chapter 3 and see how this is illustrated. You know, I'm going to read from verse 13. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord, even the Lord of the whole earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, shall come even to pass, that then shall the waters of Jordan be cut off from the waters that come from above, and they shall stand up on a heap. You know? Yeah. So, that river Jordan is something at different times that overswells even its banks. It's a river that cannot be passed over normally, you know, but in order for you to get it to open up for you, you got to step forward. And the moment your feet will touch even the banks of the river, and you touch the river, then the waters will be cut off. But if you don't go forward, it's not going to happen. You will just be seeing it as the hindrance will continue to be there until you challenge that hindrance. That's what I'm trying to say. Challenge the hindrance. It may be gates that are closing up against you, you know, but God has already put commandments in place for those gates to open up for you. But the gates will not open up until you step up. You know how there's some communities that have, that are gated communities? You know, sometimes you have to put in a code to enter in. But even when you're driving out, you know, I don't live in a gated community, but I visit people that do live in gated communities all the time. And when you're driving out, the gate, but I have a friend that lives in a gated, you know, compound as well. And when you drive up to the gate is remains open. I mean, remains locked until you get close enough. There's a place you have to get you close in proximity. It senses you're there, then it opens up. But if you're looking at the gate from afar off, say, oh, the gate is locked. I can't get out, you know, and I can't go through. Well, you got to approach. Hallelujah. You got to approach, you know, that's part of the seeking and knocking. The stuff that we got to do. You got to get close. When you get close enough, any gates will open. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 2. The Lord has put this ordinance in place. Open ye the gates. Yeah, well, you know, there are some cherubims or whosoever, you know, that are standing there. You know, they had the commandment of the Lord. They got to open it up. On the other hand, there are also some devils that are standing there to make sure that you don't go through. Jesus said it this way. He said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, the gates of hell are there. They're trying to close up against you when you are on the paths of righteousness to make sure you don't get through. You know, but the Lord said, open the gates, let the gates, in other words, let me say it this way. Let the gates be opened so that the righteous nation that keepeth the truth may enter in and go through. You got to go through and the Lord has commanded, but you got to take that step. So hopefully that sinks into us. We got to do the parts that we must do. And the things that God is asking us, I mean, the things that we are asking of God, you know, praise the Lord. Isaiah 62 and verse 10, go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway and gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. It's what we are doing here. You got to go through. The priest lead and everybody else follow. You got to go through. And so God wants us at different times, you know, to go through. Sometimes he might want you to stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, but you still got to go forward. Second Chronicles chapter 20, the story of Jehoshaphat. Sometimes it is about praising the Lord ahead of the battle. You know, after the Lord gave the assurance, remember, we're talking about assurance, you know, in the last lessons. After the Lord gave the assurance that they will get the victory, well, what did they do? The Lord still told them what they had to do. Say, go down to this place. You know, you got to go down to the, you meet them in the valley, the wilderness. You got to go down to the wilderness of Tekoa, he said. Go down there. Tomorrow you go down and you do this and that, but you will not need to fight, but you still got to go, you know. So Jehoshaphat knew, well, if I'm not, see, that's assurance. This is how assurance works. If the Lord says I got the victory and yet he's telling me to go, then I will go with my praises, knowing that I got the victory. So I know I'm not going to need to fight in this battle. So let's put the soldiers at the back. Let's put those that know how to praise the Lord in the front. Well, but you still got to do something. And so that's the element of doing something. Now, every one of us must be led of the Lord. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. The Lord will lead you in finding the door. When he says you must seek for the door, he will lead you to where the door is. You got to believe that. He wants you to go through the door, so he must show it to you. We are promised that the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. So we've got to believe that the Lord will show it to you. Now, sometimes he may lead you one way, and then he may come right back and lead you a different way. I mean, the Lord does that in the Bible. We can't, you know, always say the Lord's going to do and lead us the same way that he always led us. We covered that in a few series back, and we talked about, you know, hearing the voice of the Lord in different ways. There's the story of it to remind us, the story of Elijah at the brook. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 3 to 7. I'm not going to read it, just tell you about it, because you've read it multiple times. But the Lord gave him instruction one way, then he come back and give him instruction a different way. You know, go to the brook Cherith, stay there. You know, I commanded the ravens to feed you. That was one instruction. At another time, well, after many days there had been no rain, the thing dried up. Then the Lord, instruction of the Lord came again. You know, get thee away from here and go down to Zarephath. I've commanded the widow woman there to feed you. So he may lead you one way, may lead you a different way, may lead you here, he may lead you there, but he will lead you. That's what's important. He must lead you. But we must wait for his leading, look for his instruction. I mean, a good example of that is David, you know, in his, fight against the Philistines and so on. The story in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 18 to 25. I mean, you know, every time these Amalekites try to invade them, you know, at least in the days that, you know, David was king and so on, he would inquire of the Lord. You know, so David inquired of the Lord. He said, well, shall I go up? You know, and the Lord said, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand. So, you know, David came to Baal Perazim and smote them there, even as the Lord had said. And the Lord, you know, he said, the Lord had broken forth all my enemies, and he smote them from one end of the place to another. Took all their images, he burned everything up. He got a tremendous victory. Well, these Philistines, you cannot put them away forever. There's this thing they call whack-a-mole here in the United States. You whack him here, you know, then he springs up in over there in another hole. And you got to whack him again, and he springs up someplace else. You got to whack him again, springs up someplace else. Well, those are the way these Philistines were. You beat them one time, they tell themselves, quit ye like men. You know, don't let Israel, you know, bully you. You go back and fight again. And they gather their strength, they come back again. You know, so David asked one time, the Lord said, go up. They came against him, and David asked again. See, that's a good lesson to learn from David. He didn't say, well, the Lord told me to go up last time. That means I got to go up. The Lord said he'll give the victory to me last time. So that means he'll get. No, he asked for, you know, each time, different instruction the Holy Spirit might have. And the Lord gave him a different instruction the second time. As a matter of fact, the Lord said, no, thou shalt not go up. So this story is in 2 Samuel chapter 5, you know, from, you know, say verses 19 through the end. You can't. The Lord said, don't go up, but I'll show you what you need to do. Go behind them and do this way and do this way and do that way. And when you see, you know, you hear the sound of going on the tops, I'll give you a sign too, you know, then you know this and this. So God gave him a different strategy the second time around. So we got to keep asking. He can lead you one way. He can lead you a different way. Praise the Lord. Now, let me summarize the things that we've said before I go on to the blockers and hindrances. We've talked about everyone that asks receives. It's important for you to know that's true. The Lord said it. Everyone that asks receives. So when you ask, you must know that you have received. If you don't see it, then go look for it. You know, so that's important. You know, then, you know, it's the looking part is the seek. And the knocking part is, you know, sometimes you got to knock. Not that for the door to be open to you. You know, yesterday I told you of the story of the man in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 8, who went to his friend's house to knock on the door to ask for something at midnight. And Jesus said, well, the man from within wouldn't get up and give him just because it's his friend. He already said, it's too late, go away, my children are in bed with me. But because the man kept knocking, well, he had to get up and give him what he wanted. So Jesus oftentimes taught this kind of persistence in prayer. The same thing with this widow woman who went to the judge in Luke chapter 18. So when you knock, you know that there is someone in the house to let you in. You don't just knock once and walk away. You keep knocking. And the Lord will cause the door to open unto you. So we've covered all those. Now, I want to talk about blockers and hindrances to this concept of triple action faith. I'll talk about that. And as we talk about the blockers and the hindrances, consider the corollary or the opposite of these things, which will be the enablers and the helpers. On the one hand, you have blockers and hindrances. On the other hand, you have enablers and helpers, you know, of this concept. So let's talk about it. As I go through these hindrances, when we consider one of the hindrances, you know, one of the hindrances why, you know, this may not be working for you, flip it around and see that if you do the opposite of the hindrance, then it becomes an enabler and a helper. Now, let's look at one. What's the first thing that comes to mind as a blocker, you know, for ask? Well, the first thing is sometimes you don't even ask, you know. When Jesus was teaching his disciples, they didn't, you know, at that time, they were not asking. John 16 and 24, he said, look, hitherto you've asked me nothing. Okay, so you got to ask. And Jesus is saying it. Ask. Ask. You know, why do I need to ask? If I already know he's going to give it to me anyway, well, because he said you should ask. You know, you got to follow God's principles. If the Lord said ask, then you have to ask. Just do it like he said. So that's one thing in John 16:24. If you're not asking, you won't be getting. James chapter 4 tells you the same thing. He said, look, you know, why is it that you don't have anything? Well, or you don't have what you want? Because you don't ask. That's what he said. But, you know, but then he said, well, that's not all. You know, sometimes you ask, but you still don't get it. You know, we'll get to that in a minute. But let's look at this, James 4 and 3. You know, he says, in fact, if we study from verse 2, he says, ye lost and ye have not. Ye kill, ye desire to have, and ye obtain not. Ye fight and ye have not, because you ask not. So, if you don't ask, you're not going to get. And then sometimes you ask, but you don't get. It's what James is saying. Why? And that's contrary, because Jesus said, everyone that asketh, receiveth. Well, there's a reason why you may not get. So you got to take the whole scripture. The whole scripture. All scripture is singular. All scripture is, not all scriptures are. So you take, pick and choose what you want. No. all scripture combined together is given for inspiration. So anything that one scripture says and the other scripture says, if they look like they're opposite, you have to know that they are not opposite. It may be another angle that is trying to help you get rid of the blockers. So one blocker might be that you ask amiss, you know, because we know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, by the way. So, if God said, if I ask, I receive, and then this scripture says, well, when you ask, sometimes you don't receive because you don't ask aright, or you ask amiss, then it's a serious subject to consider. You know, that tells you that asking amiss is a blocker. We are asking because we are greedy. Say you are asking to consume it upon your own lusts. You know, we are asking out of covetousness, you know, not for the glory of God. God may or may not grant it, because you can't make God do something contrary to the will of God. All this promise about everyone I ask, I receive it, and so on, you know, it has to still be within the parameters of the will of God. Now, if you ask and you don't ask in faith, or you are doubting, or you have unbelief, and you may not receive anything. So these are blockers. Now, let's read James chapter 1. Verses 6 to 7. Several months ago, maybe over a year or so ago, we did the book of James. And we covered this concept. And James said, look, if you need something from God, such as wisdom, well, then ask, and the Lord will give it to you. You know? But, see, so he qualifies it. Even though he said, ask and God will give it to you. He give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Well, but that's not the end of it. And it comes back now and tells you, but let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed with the wind. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything in that condition of his mind. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Yo-yo kind of thing is not going to help you when you are asking from God. Now, James, he was one of the, you know, folks, you know, around. I heard, you know, the Lord speak. This might have been even his brother. Both Jameses were around. They heard some of his lessons. And, you know, the Holy Ghost come back later and give them some instructions. Now, ask in faith, nothing doubting. If you doubt, you won't receive. That already nullifies the everyone that ask and receive it. So that's a blocker. The doubt, the wavering is a blocker. You know. But on the other hand, you know, you got to ask in faith. So, when you know that God already said it, you got to put your faith forward. Don't let doubt set in. That becomes a blocker, even though God said you will receive, but you won't if you doubt. Jesus said the same thing, you know, in Mark 11, verses 23 and 24. He said, look, verily I say unto you, if you will say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into yonder place, and you don't doubt it in your heart, but you believe that those things that you said shall come to pass, well, so you shall have whatsoever you said. But there are some principles inside that lesson. Stitching faith, you know, that you can move mountains. Well, but behind that is you must not doubt it. If you if moment doubt sets in, it nullifies the assurance that it will happen. Because these are all the principles. You got to apply all the principles. You can't doubt it. You say it, leave it alone. You know it's going to come to pass. If you doubt it, You have nullified it. Cannot doubt it. Just say it. Even though it doesn't look like it, you live it like it was. That story is so powerful in Mark 11. Jesus saw the fig tree that wasn't producing, and he just spoke to it, said, no man eat of you anymore. And he just walked away. Now, Jesus, anytime he does these things, he just walks away. He doesn't look around to see whether it's going to happen. He already knows. You know, but the disciples are looking at the tree. Nothing is happening. Apparently, the tree looks just the same. And, you know, and Jesus just said, no man eat. So nobody actually, they didn't know what that means. I mean, how can you be talking to a tree? Scripture says Jesus answered the tree. Talk to the tree, you know, because the tree was not producing. So Jesus told the tree something. Well, you should have produced. And since you are not producing, well, fine, you're done. You know, so, but the disciples looking at the tree, they saw nothing. And then the next day, Jesus made sure they passed by that same place again. Just so he would teach them this lesson of faith. And so he took them by the same route again, so they will see that tree from yesterday. And then they saw the tree from yesterday had withered away. And they said, oh my goodness, the tree that you crossed yesterday is presently withered away. And Jesus said, well, you know, let me teach you a lesson here. Just because the tree did not appear to have withered away right at the time I said it, doesn't mean it did not wither away. The tree died at the root, the moment Jesus said it. And it took some time for the effect of that dying to be seen visibly on the outside above ground. And so they said, the disciples said, oh, say, yeah. He said, but when you say it like that, even though it doesn't look like it, you cannot doubt it in your heart. The moment you doubt it, you nullify the thing. He said, when you say it like that, don't doubt it, but just believe that it will come to pass and you will have whatsoever you say. I said, oh, he said, yep. And then he told them, well, you know, I tell you, anything, what things soever you desire, when you pray, the pray is the ask. Well, believe. You know, so yeah, something you must do. You know, believe that you receive and you will receive. You believe at the time of prayer, but you receive later. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. Matthew 21:22. What things soever you desire, when you pray, at the moment of prayer. I always say, people, I say, faith is now. It's not for the future. Faith is now. When you pray, at the time you are praying, that's when you believe. The actions you do later on, such as not doubting and keep on believing, those follow, but you must also believe at the instant of that prayer. And then keep on believing throughout the process. And if you doubt at any time, then you miss it. So this doubt is a blocker, it's a hindrance to this triple action faith and the promises of everyone receiveth that ask it. Well, another blocker can be, of course, sin. Sin is always a blocker to everything. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 tells us, God's ear is not deaf that he cannot hear, neither is his hand shortened that he cannot save. Well, why then are we not saved? I mean, from our enemies and our troubles and our distresses. Why then, you know, does it look like the Lord is not answering? You say, well, because your sins have separated you from your God. Your iniquities have become a blocker. So that's Isaiah 59, verses 1 to 2. That is so important for us. And there are many sins. Any sin is a sin. But the sin of unbelief, the sin of disobedience, they come to the forefront here. But I'll tell you a couple more in a minute, but any sin and all unrighteousness is sin, the Bible says. So any of those things can be a blocker. You say, well, if the Lord says I receive, then why am I not receive? Well, then maybe there is something that's a blocker. That's why we're bringing this out. So, God's hand never shortened. His ear is never deaf. But your iniquities may have separated you between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face so that he will not hear. You see, you know, that's a serious case. Well, that's why God is warning us. So that, you know, you understand all the aspects so that you will not be saying, why didn't this happen? Why didn't that? You check. There may be some hindrances. And those hindrances are what we are now talking about. Sin is a blocker. Unforgiveness is another blocker. There's a story that Jesus told in Matthew 18. The man who was forgiven a lot, tons of money, you know, maybe 10,000 talents that he owed, millions of dollars. He couldn't pay. When he begged for time, the master forgave him. He turned around, found somebody that owed him just a, you know, a cent or a nickel. And he grabbed the person by the neck, threw him into prison until he should pay. How in the world is he going to pay when he's in prison? You know, and then when other people saw it, they didn't like what he did. In fact, they were grieved. They went and told the master. The master called him and said, thou wicked servant. You know, I forgave you all that debt because you desired of me. You asked. You know, and because I saw you couldn't pay, I forgave you. Shouldn't you therefore have had compassion on your fellow servant even as I had on thee? Now, remember, this man already received a write-off of $1 million, millions of dollars that he owed. He already got a tremendous blessing. He was already forgiven. It's like, you know, all the struggle of paying back, he doesn't have to pay it back anymore. He took care of it. He wiped it off, wiped it clean. But it was rescinded. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know, this was rescinded. There was one time I was talking to a brother and he was arguing that that's not what he meant. And I said, you better be very careful. That's exactly what it meant. Because Jesus said, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you. You know, if you do not from your heart forgive everyone, your brother, their trespasses. And what was it that was done to this man? The forgiveness was rescinded. And said, cast him to tormentors. Well, tormentors may be the reason why your prayers are not answered, if they're not. Yeah, I mean, torment him. You know, somebody that was already cleared. Now, because he himself would not extend the same grace that he received to someone else, then his forgiveness, the answer to his prayer, whatever it was that he already had, was rescinded. So this is very, very serious. Unforgiveness is a tremendous and can be a tremendous blocker and hindrance to these things. So if you say, well, why then is this? I mean, the Lord said, so, well, check your life. See whether there is unforgiveness. You know, some people just won't forgive and let things go. It is so important for your own good that you forgive. Because these stories show us that somebody was cleared because they would not forgive. And they held out, you know, on releasing another person. They themselves, what they would have continued to enjoy was rescinded. So that can be a serious blocker. I invite you to read the story in Matthew chapter 18. It's a powerful, powerful story, but I'm not going to read it. I just paraphrase it for you. But you can read it for yourself. Praise the Lord. Well, Holy Spirit just reminded me that there was a scripture I should have read in Proverbs 15 and 8 about sin. And I want to read it here. When I was talking about sin being a blocker. I mean, find it and read it. It says, you know, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. Now, that's the wicked is their life is sinful and full of sin. Whereas the prayer of the upright is his delight. You know, whatever this wicked brings is an abomination to the Lord. So a life that is walking in darkness may be a blocker to the things that we are talking about in this lesson. I'm going to show you some more and it will become even much clearer. Unforgiveness we talked about already. You can read that story in Matthew 18. Now, Mark 11:25. It's a powerful lesson about unforgiveness. If you read it, read the whole story about Jesus, you know, and the tree and everything that he said to them and how he's teaching them, you know, and all of that. If you stop at verse 24, you will not get the whole picture. So Jesus is teaching tremendous and powerful faith, how we can curse a tree, move a mountain, do all these things. And how if you don't doubt and so on, you know, everything, you keep on believing, it'll come to pass. You know, it's powerful, powerful lesson that he's giving here. But we fail oftentimes to read verse 25. We read verse 23, powerful, you can move mountains. We read verse 24, powerful, anything you desire, when you believe, you get it. But we fail to read verse 25. It's the same context. He's speaking about the same thing. And he said, and, which means that's a conjunction to what he just said. And when you stand praying, you know, or declaring or decreeing or doing all these things, trying to move the mountain and everything. He said, and when you do that, forgive. So, you know, he said, if you have aught against any, that your heavenly Father also may forgive you. So you see that forgiveness is tied to even receiving, you know, the things that you declare. You know, all these, you know, everyone receives, everyone finds, everyone has a door open to them. It's even tied to forgiveness. He said, but if you do not forgive, verse 26, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. And then your sin becomes a blocker. So, it's very, very important that we forgive. Anytime that you see that things are lingering in your life for a long time, check on forgiveness. That can be a serious blocker, as we are seeing here. Unforgiveness. I can be a serious, serious blocker. I pray that the Lord will give you understanding on these things. Here's another one. Strife. Even in the family. Husband and wife, etc. and so forth. You know, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It says, look, bitterness against your wife, against your spouse. You say, well, you know, if you don't treat them with tenderness or care, you say, well, your prayers might be hindered. Now, that's one place where we're point blank told that our prayers might be hindered. Even by your behavior to your spouse. In this case, talking about husband to wife. But it's same thing. Husband to wife. Wife to husband. Children to parent, etc. It's all the same. You know, these things that God tells us not to do. Or if he tells us to do something and we don't do it, these things might become hindrance to prayers. Now, here is one that I really want to take a moment to talk about. Disregarding the word of God. It's another blocker. When we say it doesn't matter, that's what disregarding means. I've heard it many times. Especially younger generations, they think things don't matter. Well, I'll tell you something. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9, let's see what the scriptures have to say about this. When we think, well, it doesn't matter. Remember that it does matter. I'm going to show it to you here in a minute that it does matter. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. In other words, doesn't matter, you just disregard it. Even his prayer shall be an abomination. See? When you say it doesn't matter, or you hear instruction from the word of God and you just turn away, there are certain things of your prayers that God will not hear. It'll be an abomination to him because you rejected his word. So therefore, he also will reject your prayer. So this is very, very serious. Don't turn your ear away from hearing the law. Don't say it doesn't matter and just want to do things your way. Some people are so set in their ways. Even when God is convicting them, say, look, forgive your spouse. They say, no, never forgive him. I never forgive her. Forgive your parents or your children or your siblings. No, hold on to it. Well, he said, even your prayer might become an abomination to the Lord. So these things are very important. Despite the fact that the Lord said you will get, you may not get if you break the rules. So these rules are important. Every word of God is important. Now, there's another one. And this is, we've talked about this multiple times, how you may not be getting anything if it's not according to the will of God. You know, Lamentation 3 and 37, spoken about it multiple times. You know, who is it that saith and it comes to pass when it's not according to what God has commanded? So you can't just be asking things, seeking things, knocking on doors which God doesn't want you to knock on, doing things the way he doesn't want you to do, and then thinking that, you know, just because you declared it to be so. No. It's got to be according to the rules. It's got to be according to the word of God. It's not according to what he has already said. You're not going to have it. 1 John 15 verses 14 and 15 tells us, you know, we have confidence that when we do, I mean, when we make our prayers to be according to his will, then we know that he's hearing us. And if he's hearing us, then we know we shall receive. So these scriptures are telling us that your prayers must be according to his word. You can't just pray anything just because scriptures say ask anything and you will get it. Then just pray anything. You know, pray for the life of your enemies, that God should strike them down and all these things. And think God is going to grant that? No, he's not going to grant it. There are some organizations that are still praying like that till this day, praying that God should strike their enemies down because they read something in the scriptures. They read something that David said, let the angel of the Lord persecute him. Let this and this and this. And they're reading that and they're using that in their prayer. Call down fire on the enemies. I'm like, you know, that was in the Old Testament. Jesus raised this standard. He said, in those days, yeah, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But now I tell you, even when somebody slaps you, turn the other cheek as well. You know, pray for your enemies now. So what we do in the kingdom, you know, call down fire. All those groups where they're calling down fire on their enemy, none of them shall even smell the gates of the kingdom. Unless they repent. Jesus said, except you repent. See, because that's not how we do things in the kingdom. In fact, two of his disciples one time said, well, you know, these people are, they will not hear your word. So and so, let's call down fire on them. And Jesus called them sons of thunder. You know, you think that's the kind of spirit that God, your father, is looking for in you? You don't know what spirit you have. You don't do that stuff. Well, Elijah did it. So we can do it. Say, well, I'm not saying you can't do it, but we don't do it. And Jesus told them, you have to straighten them out. You know, I said, wow. And you think Jesus could not have called down fire or could not have done all those things? You know, when they were just, you know, always slapping him around, trying to kill him towards the end of his ministry there. There were even times they tried to throw him off the cliff and so on. No, we don't do those things anymore. So, let's be very, very careful. You know, what we ask, everything we ask must be according to his will. You know, if you are not asking according to his commandments or you're not doing his will, I spoke about active and passive obedience the other day. 1 John 3:22. You know, he said, you know, this is how we get things from him. When we keep his commandments and you do what's pleasing in his sight. So if you're not keeping his commandments and you're not doing what's willing in his, pleasing to him, you may not be receiving. So again, that's a blocker. You know, let's talk about looking in the wrong place. Remember, we talked about seeking. You may be looking in the wrong place. That's why you may not find it. I gave you the story of, you know, electric charger cord to an appliance we were looking for the other day. I was looking in the wrong place because I thought it would be in that one particular place because that's where I thought she kept it all the time. And it wasn't there. I looked everywhere in that room and I couldn't find it. I glanced casually at a few other places, but I didn't carefully look because in my mind, I knew it had to be in that place and it wasn't there. So I assumed it was somehow lost. I don't know. But I was looking in the wrong place. So you can be looking in the wrong place. There's a story in John chapter 5. Beautiful story. The man that was looking in the wrong place, you know, was expecting the Lord to heal him. And he had something good going for him. He was persistent. He kept coming. But every time somebody else stepped in ahead of him, they were all waiting for the angel to come down at a certain time and stir the pool. And whosoever first stepped into the pool was healed of whatever sickness he had. That's what the scripture said. So this man also kept coming, you know. But in his mind, he said, well, one day it'll be my turn. One day it'll be my turn. But it was never his turn. It was too slow. Somebody else always got ahead of him. When Jesus came to him and said, well, would you be made whole? He said, well, of course. But, you know, I can't get in there fast enough. So he was looking in the wrong place because he thought his healing must come from the stirring of the water. You know, he already boxed himself into a corner. Well, you know, I'm waiting for the angel. We don't know exactly, but it's around this time. There's a lot of impotent folk waiting there. So how am I going to be the first? You can't get in too soon. You got to time it just right. But I'm going to keep trying. One day it'll be my turn. Well, but it's just got to be when the angel stirs the pool. So he is so focused on that's where his healing must come from. He's looking in the wrong place. And Jesus allowed that story there for us to see that sometimes we're looking in the wrong place. You must seek, but you may be seeking in the wrong place. And, you know, Jesus had to tell him, today, don't worry about the angel and don't worry about the water. I'm right here. You know, the man couldn't understand. Well, after Jesus healed him, then he understood. You know, so sometimes we may be looking in the wrong place. You're looking for the charger to that appliance, but you are looking in the wrong place. It's somewhere, but you are not looking in the right place. So you need to look in the right place in order for you to find it. What about the knocking part? Well, if you give up too quickly, that can be a blocker. You're standing at the door, you knock, and they don't open the door, you know, just because you rang the doorbell once or you knocked once, you walked away, then that's a blocker. You gave up too quickly. So there are stories in the Bible and even commandments about that. You know, Isaiah 62 and verse 7 tells us that those of you that call upon the name of the Lord, do not keep silence and do not stop. Give him no rest. So if you stop or you give up quickly, you may not receive. So these are blockers as well. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. These things Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So if you faint and don't pray always, you may not receive. So that's again a blocker. Let's turn all these blockers around and make them become helpers and enablers. For each one of these blockers, if you turn it around, it can become an enabler. In other words, you know, the one that said, well, you didn't ask, that's why you didn't get. Well, then you ask. So asking becomes an enabler and a helper. You know, you ask amiss. Well, you don't ask amiss. then you find the scriptures, you ask according to the word of God, that becomes an enabler. You ask without faith or you doubt, well, you turn that around and you be positive and don't doubt. You know, so faith is an enabler to all of these things. Well, sin, well, you get rid of your sin. The righteous, I say, the prayer of the righteous is a delight unto him. The scripture we read, he said, you know, the prayer of the wicked is an abomination, but the prayer of the righteous is a delight. So righteousness becomes a delight. You know, the psalmist was talking in Psalm 18 and the other places. He said, look, the Lord heard me according to the righteousness, my righteousness, and so on. You know, Hezekiah, that was how he prayed. He said, Lord, you've seen the integrity of my heart. You know, and so far I've walked in your ways and I walked after other gods and I've kept the word of the Lord in my heart and stayed close to you and so on. You know, pray like that. And the Lord heard it. You know, so you know, get rid of the sin that's a blocker. Put on righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, not self-righteousness. One man in Luke 18 was touting his self-righteousness before God. I fast twice a day, twice a week. I do these things. I'm not like that man over there, that sinner. Well, that's self-righteousness. That's not going anywhere. But in the integrity of your heart, you're not comparing yourself to anybody. You're just comparing yourself to the Word of God. The Word of God says, you know, this way, and I've been doing it. And Lord, you know, I've been doing it. You know, just like you said. I thank you, Lord, for the grace that you're giving me to do. Remember, it's His grace that caused you to do it anyway, according to Philippians 2 and 13. God that makes you to even be willing and give you the ability to do it in the first place. So, but your righteousness can become an enabler. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, unforgiveness is a blocker. So forgiveness becomes an enabler. When you forgive, hallelujah. It's a forgive so that the Heavenly Father may forgive. That becomes an enabler. You know, eliminating strife in the home, in the family, all those things, that becomes an enabler. Forgiving, releasing people, you know. Now, taking heed to the word of God. Remember, we talked about, you know, those that disregard the word of God. That's a blocker. Well, taking heed to the word of God becomes then an enabler. Listen to this in Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 and 2. All these things, you know, the Lord said, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What are you going to give me? I own everything. Where's the place of my rest? He said, all these things are my handmade and all those things have been said the Lord. Yeah, but this is the man to whom I will look, you know. Yeah, see, so a man that trembles at my word, that's an enabler. You know, that will draw that person in. I mean, draw God towards them. You know, when you tremble at his word, rather than disregarding it, that becomes an enabler. The Lord said, the man that trembles at my word, I will regard their prayer. This is the man to whom I will regard. I will have respect unto their prayer. That's right. Because they tremble at my word. So trembling at God's word becomes a tremendous enabler. Jesus said it even in John 14, verses 21 to 23, he said, if you keep my words, that shows that you love me. And when you do that, it's going to bring about a tremendous experience in your life. I'm coming after you and you live a life of obedience. I'm coming to you. I'm going to make my abode with you. Well, you know, if God, if Jesus is with you like in that way, then you know, all things concerning what you're asking are cool. He's going to do it. You know, so obedience, trembling at his word, that becomes enablers for us and so on and so forth. So just flipping all of the blockers and hindrances, you flip them around and you find the enablers. And keep his commandments, do his will, 1 John 3:22. That's how you get what you're asking from God. You know, ask according to his word, 1 John 15:14-15, all these things, you know. Do it. Seek God diligently. Don't give up. when we give up too quickly, like we said, well, you may miss out. So the enablers there are the following scriptures. Hebrews 11:6. They that seek the Lord, seek him diligently, and know that he's a rewarder of those that seek him diligently. Isaiah 55:6. You shall find me when you shall seek me with all your heart. You know, seek the Lord and he will hear you. Same thing in Jeremiah 29:13. You know, we must seek the Lord with all our heart. So those are enablers rather than giving up. If you give up too soon, that's a blocker. But if you seek him diligently with all your heart and stay right there, that's an enabler. You know, looking in the wrong place is a blocker. So you always make sure you look in the right place. How? Make sure you are led by the Spirit of God. He will lead you. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And don't give up. That's the key thing. Let me close this out by saying to us what Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, you know, verses 1 to 8. He gave a tremendous lesson there. How and why we must always pray and not to faint. Someone asked a question yesterday. Well, does that mean unbelief? Absolutely not. Because Jesus said it himself. Well, we should be doing that. But here's what he said in verse 8 of Luke 18. You know, he said, look, leading up to that, he said, God will answer you speedily. Don't give up. Just keep on believing. Stay right there. Do it tarry. Wait for it. Many scriptures talk about that. But he now revealed this thing, this statement. He said, well, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Okay, so we can read that as though it means when he comes for the church in the so-called rapture of the church. Well, we can read it that way. You can also read it in the context of what Jesus is talking about here. Men ought always to pray. Because that's how we started this text in Luke 18. Jesus told a parable to this effect that men ought always to pray and not to give up. He's talking about prayer and not giving up. So, that's the way I see it. Prayer and not giving up, walking a life of integrity, that's also going to lead us to qualifying us for the rapture. But also, it means in your daily lives, because he's talking about prayer and not giving up. Whatever you are praying for, don't give up. Because the moment that the answer is coming, will that answer find you at the point of faith? That's the way I read verse 8. When Jesus finally shows up, just like, you know, Lazarus died, he finally showed up, you know, their faith was gone. You're going to say, well, now you show up. 4 days ago, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You know, but now, dead, 4 days in the grave. Actually, it was more than 4 days ago, because they didn't bury him immediately, he died. They wept for some time. And then, by the time Jesus showed up, you know, finally 4 days. But at that point, she had lost hope. Although she tried to encourage her, say, well, I know that even now, you know, whatever you ask of God, and so on. So, when the answer comes or is dispatched to you, will you still be at the point of faith? That's what Jesus is asking in verse 8. Will you? Will they meet you at the point of faith? Or would you have quit and given up? Don't quit now and don't give up. And most people quit and give up when the answer is just around the corner. I pray that that will not be your case in the name of Jesus. I'm going to pray for us. Consider this story in Exodus 15. They gave up on the Lord. Their hearts turned back. They grumbled over everything. But yet, just around the corner, we're told, if you read it to the very last verse, as they were grumbling and complaining and so forth, but yet, just around the corner, the Bible says that God had prepared you know, something very special for them. It was right around the corner, but they were grumbling and complaining. And they came to Elim, and there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees that God had prepared, but just around the corner. But they had given up in their hearts and in their minds. But the solution to their problem was just around the corner. Now don't give up now on the Lord. Stay right there. Solution may be just around the corner. When the answer comes and is dispatched from you, from Him, from God to you, will you still be at the point of faith? Ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson. And I pray that the Lord will give us understanding of all these things. You got to use every part of this. You got to ask, you got to seek, you got to knock. You got to do everything to get what it is that you want from the Lord. One part may not be enough, add the other one. Two parts may not be enough, add the third one. Keep on doing it until you get what you need. Keep the Lord no silence until you establish the thing that you are believing God for. Father, I pray for your children that we will have understanding of these things. Jesus said, have you now understood these things? And they say, yea, Lord. I pray that our answer will be, yea, Lord, as well. Now, Lord, that you have shown us these things, may our spirits be strengthened. We be strengthened in the inner man to believe God, to act upon His word in all the various things we have learned. Never to give up. Look in the right places. Keep on holding on, believing God, not doubting our hearts, forgiving those that trespass against us, and all these things you've taught us today, so that we may inherit and receive the blessings that you have promised us. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory, Lord. I pray against the gates that are closing up against your people, the barriers that are closing up against your people. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O ye gates, be ye open. Hallelujah. Say, open ye the gates. Well, let the gates be open. Let the people of God go through. And every gate of disobedience and hardness of heart, you know, in our minds and so forth, you don't harden yourself. Don't harden your mind against the word of God. Let your heart be tender. Hear the word of God and obey it. All those gates that cause hardness of heart, you know, Lord, Father, break the gates down. Let the hearts of your people be tender towards the word of God. You are instructing us to forgive. Let's do it. Father, Lord, and all these things that you're telling us here today, we give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.